This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're tuned in to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me is Brian Fernandez. Today, we consider how we can prepare ourselves for aged care. And this morning, we've got Dr. Carol Yip, CEO of Aged Care Group. Good morning, Dr. Carol.
Morning, Han and Brian.
All right, so aged care. Now, there appears to be some misconceptions out there about what it actually entails. So what should we think about when we talk about aged care?
By definition, aged care is you need money to pay for the care when you're old. But from my personal experience and even in my business now, there are people calling us for care services when they're even less than 50 years old or young people. So aged care to me is just a term, but the main core of it is that you need to have money to pay for care services.
Okay, and that's a very good point about money, because today when we are ill or we need treatment, there's a public option and there's a private option. And the cost can vary very dramatically. The public option of going to a government hospital or clinic is significantly lower than the private option. Now, do those options exist in aged care?
Well, if I were to break it down into service and accommodation, accommodation side, public side, I don't think there's things like nursing home provided by the government. So we have to go to the private operated nursing homes. For the services, of course, if you're talking about services, so for example, you need a nurse to come to your house. Again, there are more private operator giving that kind of services compared to the government, because for government, it's more like charity or the NGOs will do the charity part of it. So that is, to me, considered as a public.
So essentially, Carol, that brings to mind a big question that I think a lot of people are failing to plan sufficiently for aged care. Because if there's no public option, I see a lot of dollars involved moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, if I were to just give you a current situation, if you do choose a nursing home run by a private operator, just say you are sharing a bed with another person, maybe two or three beds in a room, you'll be paying about $2,000 to $3,000 a month just for the accommodation, where it covers your meals and maybe some daily activity like they shower you or change you. Other than that, any other additional like consumables like your diapers, medication, maybe you have to add another $1,000 or $1,500. So if you were to add up the dollars, you roughly need to spend about $4,000 a month. Assuming that you stay there for, say, 5 years, you need about $250,000.
Now, when we talk about aged care, often it appears to be this taboo topic here in Asian communities, right? The idea that you'll be abandoned and away from your family and left in this care facility, right? Is that taboo still prominent today?
Some people still think it's a taboo, but people who are in need of it, they no longer think it's a taboo. They think that it's a great help if they manage to find a home that can accept the parent, right? But moving forward, as you know, end of last year, we have this Private Aged Healthcare Act, Healthcare Services and Facility Act has been passed by the Parliament. So I think it will change. And there are also many potential operators or operators like us, Aged Care Group, we are looking into building a facility that looks like almost like a hotel.
Because this idea of relying on your kids to take care of you till the day you die, that notion is being eroded, correct?
I would like to say so, but again, okay, how about this? I think we have to then look into the family. You know, sometimes some family are very close-knitted. They will never want to leave their parents, but some may not be. There's also a trend that young people tend to now, they may not want to have kids, so you might grow old alone or with another partner.
But Carol, there's also an issue of the level of treatment and care that's required for that aged person. So, for example, there may be issues where, for example, that aged person needs constant care, and that constant care would be too expensive to be actually administered at home versus in an aged care facilities. I mean, could you shed some light, for example, for these sort of scenarios?
Okay, from what you say is constant care, all right, then we have to define what kind of care. Because in what in a assessment what we do is normally assess the condition of the care. All right. Well, there are a few types of care that is needed, like very basic things like daily living, like feeding, changing, going to the toilet, taking bath and all. Yeah, that is constant care. All right. On top of medication. Well, if the person, there's always a rating, all right, and that's what we do. If someone needs a low type of care, then it may not be very expensive because you don't really need a nurse to do that.
And you can also then have home care where somebody comes and visits you and then that's taken care of, right?
But we must be very mindful. Home care is not regulated. Yeah, in Malaysia, operator who provide home care services, there's no regulation from the Ministry of Health to regulate this kind of services. So the quality, we do not know.
Give us some understanding in terms of the industry regulation landscape. Mm-hmm. So these old folks' homes in places like Jalan Gasing or in Old Klang Road and all that, what laws govern basically these homes and to ensure that the quality of care is consistent and is delivered?
Currently, we have two regulations. Though I've mentioned just now, we have a private age healthcare act. That's a big difference. Yeah? Currently, what we have is we have the Care Centre Act under the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development. And then there's another one, Private Healthcare Act, Facility and Services Act under the Ministry of Health. Now, these two acts actually regulate differently in a sense. Under the Care Centre Act, you can have a care centre that allow elderly to come in to live, but there's no need to have a nurse to look after this elderly. It's just a care centre. It's just like your child care. You know, you get send your parents there. They can have friends. They can enjoy themselves staying in the care centre.
Okay.
Whereas the other one is nursing home under the Private Health Care Facility and Services Act. It's almost like a hospital regulations where the operator have to comply. Means your facility have to comply to very strict regulations.
So therefore, the cost also of those two types of facilities to an average patient will be quite different.
Yeah, it's supposed to be different because under the Ministry of Health regulation, you must have a nurse, you must have a medical doctor, and even your facility, you must have all the wheelchair-friendly bathroom and all the whatever security that need to be there. Mm. But because the demand is so high and the regulation under Michelle is so stringent, a lot of operators look into the Care Centre Act. Like I said, the demand is high, so what happens? Then most people will then end up in the care centre. And as they get older, maybe at the time when they go into a care centre, they already need care.
So we're talking about medical care here,
medical care, which they risk foregoing
exactly. If they just go into care centre. Okay.
So if the regulation do not need such a stringent staffing, then we are actually paying our money, but in return, we may not get the quality of care or medical care that we need.
Right. So moving forward, you know, with this overview of the industry and where we're at right now, what are some of the key considerations that our listeners should be aware of?
If you talk about the financial side, regardless, while you're thinking of saving for retirement, we need to make sure that we lock aside the saving for care, whether is it for normal daily care or medical care or even like your physiotherapy, you have to lock it aside and do not use it until you need it. Mm. Because a lot of insurance policy may not cover this kind of services when you leave the hospital.
Mm. All right. And that's a very important point, and we'll further look into how we as individuals can prepare ourselves financially for aged care. We are speaking to Dr. Carol Yip, who is the CEO of Aged Care Group. I'm Tan Chung Han with Brian Fernandez. We'll be back with more on Ringgit and Sense right here on BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on Ringgit and Sense. I'm Tan Chung Han and with me is Brian Fernandez. And today in the studio, we've got Dr. Carol Yip, CEO of Aged Care Group, helping us today to better understand and better prepare ourselves for what happens after retirement, what happens when we reach old age, and how do we take care of ourselves. Dr. Carol, this obviously is a very emotional issue, and I'm sure when dealing with your clients, you have to deal with the emotional, perhaps irrationalities that arise when you have these discussions, right? How do you better make that separation between the emotional aspects versus the practicality and being realistic about the challenges that lie ahead?
Well, often we do have such cases, as you mentioned. That's where we do have care managers. Our role is to represent the client's interest, all right? So whatever it is, the client interest is the patient. And, of course, I have a family who engage us. So whenever we have situations like this, we will go to the house or even the hospital sometimes to have a conversation with them. You know, we have to ask, what is your goal? All right. Once we understand the goal, then we have to tell them you need to prepare yourself for all these consequences. And that's where we build a relationship. I think it's very important. And then even if, let's say, there are situations that we need to get a counselor in, we will do that, because these are all emotions and all the illogical thinking that we need to rationalize with the client.
Give us some scenarios maybe on some of the cases that you have encountered.
Well, one of the things is, let's say, for stroke case. I mean, elderly also, they do get stroke and they move in, then they end up in the hospital. And you know, stroke cases are one of the most difficult cases to handle. So then the family member will say, look, I want my dad to get well as quickly as possible. Then they might hear from friends or relatives to say, oh, go to this person, this doctor or that therapy to help out. Now, the question is this, does the family member understand the medical condition? All right. And a lot of time when the doctor, where the hospital provide all the information, does the family member understand what it means? So if you don't understand, then how do you make a logical decision?
In, again, dealing with the emotional aspects of it, what are some pitfalls that we as listeners should be aware of right now?
Very simple. If I were to say, why don't you engage us, the care manager, to help you? First thing they think, oh, how much does it cost?
Yes.
But the question is, if you don't engage a professional to help you, you might end up spending more money making decisions that's not relevant.
So what sort of services, I mean, when you talk about engaging a care manager, what does that entail?
It's just like having a financial planner to assess your financial situation and create a financial plan for you. It's the same example. We only charge about $300 just for one care assessment. And then we will give you a care plan. All right, a care plan will tell you exactly what you need to do.
And also then, of course, helps you, if you're playing the role of the financial manager or assisting in financial planning, gives you various options in terms of what path depending on your goals, correct?
Yes, and then once the care plan makes sense to you, then as a client, then you say, okay, now I need you to help me to find the service or compare which operator offer the best, because we are actually a platform where we have all kinds of services that we work with our partners, and we will then help you to decide based on options. That's where we help you to cost save, all right, and also plan and even coordinate for you, because many a times in this situation, a lot of people don't have the time, right, to make calls or make the arrangement. We can help you to do that.
So, Dr. Carroll, in considering the finances and how much it'll cost to make sure there's adequate aged care for the individual, very often we think that EPF, that's going to sort us out for the rest of our lives post-retirement, right? Are you finding that to be the case? EPF funds, EPF savings, is that enough to include aged care?
Well, if you were to hear my earlier answer, right, if you stay in a nursing home for 5 years at current price, you need about $250,000. So I would like to say, I don't think
EPF,
so.
EPF, not enough, because EPF minimum sum now is only $228,000.
Yeah, so definitely it will not be enough, especially now we have people tend to live longer, especially with the advances of medication, anti-aging, you know. Don't be surprised we all end up living until 100 years old.
Yeah, because right now already the average expectancy for Malaysian women is 77 years.
Yes.
For men, it's 72. So we've breached well clear already of that 70-year mark.
And not only that, I think medical cost is also increasing at an inflation rate, you know, even beyond sometimes. So we mustn't think of EPF as the only source of income or cash. We have to look into our assets that we have. It could be in a house, in the form of a house, could be your shares, could be your unit trust, even insurance money. We cannot always think that since we have insurance, it can cover our costs. Mm. All right? Because certain things we can't claim from the insurance anyway. So, in terms of asset, also, again, it's an emotional thing, because some people do not want to sell a house because they want to leave it for their loved ones. Then what happens after that? Mm. All right. So that's where I say, when you want to plan for aged care, we have to be mentally prepared that then time when we need to liquidate our assets, we just do it.
So there are a couple of ways to do that, Carol. If I'm not mistaken, some people, what they've done is obviously they liquidate the asset and then they downsize to the smaller asset, say an apartment or something, downsizing from a big home. And then that extra money then is sufficient for them to help fund aged care.
No, yeah. Absolutely correct. And this is what now if you read the papers, there are people getting into this kind of development. You know, there are a couple of development out there already. They call themselves retirement villages. They have all the facility and lifestyle services. So yeah, people are getting very excited about it. But it takes a few years before you see one development being completed. So it's a good time now, you know, for us to start planning and putting money aside so that when a couple of years down the road, when we need to downsize and move to a village, a retirement village or aged care facility, we have that kind of cash. But I'd like to add on also that we also must take note that as we get older, sometimes managing money could be a problem. Things like dementia, Parkinson, or sometimes I can't even remember our password. All right, going to the bank could be a problem because we can't drive. I mean, old people, sometimes they drive very clumsily, so they don't want to get out of the house. And online banking could be quite a problem too, you know. So in that situation, again, we have to be very mindful. Who can we trust to put that pool of cash to manage it so that they'll pay for our expenses, our care expenses, our accommodation expenses?
So in your opinion, what sort of trusted third party is able to do something like that?
Now, this is one thing that I always advise or educate my client is that create a living trust. It's besides writing a will for your assets when you passed away, look into a living trust where you have a trustee that you can appoint and then you can put money into this trust so that the trustee will pay the expenses according to the instructions that you have given to them. Now, this is no different from having a family trust, you know, that you allocate certain amount of money for your children's education, say. You know, it's the same thing. As we get older and older, we need to put this cash aside in a living trust. Yeah, that becomes easier for people. Just imagine if you have dementia, really, you don't even know, can't even remember anything. That is the best way to put the money there to take care of you.
For younger listeners such as myself, you know, those in the, say, late 20s, early 30s, is this something we can start planning for? And if so, how?
Yes, definitely. It's a must if you would ask this. Because when you plan early at that age, your savings could build up, right, more than what is required. So how to do it? Now, few ways. Either you go to EPF, increase your EPF contribution, which is very easy to do that nowadays. Or you can even save in terms of buying unit trust or even the private retirement scheme funds. They call it the PRS. Or even get yourself a house. get your first house.
But this is about buying the house so that you can liquidate it after to take care of yourself.
So the strategy is different from then what people traditionally do, which is to say, I need a house to live in or something. Okay.
Yeah. If you were to put that the house into action, means what? Buy the house now, you keep it for the next 30, 50 years, and at the time when you need to move into a smaller place, you sell this house and then move to a smaller place. Then you can get the extra cash to pay for your care services. Yeah.
So what constitutes a good quality aged care? So you mentioned the medical aspects of it. What about, say, the spiritual or the emotional or the mental sustainability of when you're old?
You pointed out correctly, Han. In our philosophy, we have this DNA, we call it, take care of yourself physically, emotionally, socially, mentally, and financially. And all these are all integrated. Just like Brian, you know, healthy guy, love to exercise. Yeah, for all you know, you don't need so much money for your care later.
Whoa, why is she mentioning you? What about me?
I'm not sure.
The diplomatic answer.
Wow. Well, I'm not so sure if I should air this interview anymore. I'm kidding. All right, so with the little time that we have left, Doctor, so sum it all up for us. What should we start thinking about now? How should we best prepare ourselves now for aged care?
Just go and do it, you know. Now that you know you need money for care in the future, just start to put the money aside. Just do it.
Just do it and don't get so emotionally hung up about it.
Yeah, the good news is if you don't need the care in the future, you have the extra cash that you can spend later. Why not?
So and it's traveling in your retirement.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, like you, Brian, apparently. All right. Thank you so much for your time and your insights. That was Dr. Carol Yip, CEO of Age Care Group. I am Tan Chung Han, the less healthier one compared to Brian Fernandez. This is BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.